T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keefe.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork, and thanks for watching this live recap stream on the YouTube. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Rickon Von Dickon. That would be Davey Audio, Davey Eyeballs. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm actually speaking now. I can actually speak to you. I said on Twitter that I wasn't going to talk if something didn't happen this week. And it did.
It certainly did happen. Yeah. We are also joined to round out the triumvirate that is Dem Thrones Boys. It's Shime time, baby. What's up, Shime?
Dem Thrones Boys, the best Game of Thrones experience.
Oh boy.
That's right. We are off to a great start here. Yeah. So go ahead, hit up the chat on the YouTube. We will get to some questions, comments, concerns at the end. We're just going to try to rip through this episode, which was the penultimate episode in the history of Game of Thrones. My immediate reaction, first thing, it's pretty predictable. It's something that I know, Davey, you and I have both been talking about for really a couple of seasons since we've been doing the podcast, is the idea of the Mad Queen was somewhat inevitable, but I still really liked it. I personally enjoyed the episode, and it got to like 20 minutes in, I'm like, shit, they might kind of lose me a little bit here. I'm not sure if I'm going to be on board, but I liked what they did. I thought Dany going crazy and just burning down the city was great stuff.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And I, like I said, big heel turn, yeah. But like something that we needed and something that was done, I think, quite well. I think this is the episode I've been waiting for was it five now? This is like, one out of five. So we're batting 200 right now as far as episodes. But
Sean, what do you think of the Mad Queen?
I thought it was nuts. I mean, for me, I know you guys had always talked about Daenerys going Mad Queen, but for me, I always thought that it was going to be more of a Cersei thing, and that's kind of what would lead us to Cersei's death. But like the huge heel turn that we get from Daenerys here is nuts, and I kind of loved it.
I did too. And let's talk about at the beginning of the episode where really kind of all of a sudden, so Dany, after episode four, and we did the recap for that episode, she sees Missandei get decapitated. She returns back to her crew. She's upset. She's not eating, all this stuff. But she basically figures out, and just when I had sort of started to think that maybe Dany is not one of the more intelligent characters, she starts to figure out, hey, I told you not to tell Sansa. You told Sansa. And I know that Sansa told Tyrion. And I know that Tyrion told Varys. And now I'm going to kill Varys. Like, all that stuff kind of came out. And you're like, wait a minute. Maybe Dany's kind of actually onto something here.
You want to take this one, Shimer?
I'd love to. Right. Yeah, she seems like she isn't as unclever as we thought she was. Like, she made that very obvious, oh, I'm gonna make Gendry a lord move in the last episode, which we all was like, all right, everybody knows what you're doing. But then she goes, and as soon as Tyrion walks in the room, she knows exactly who betrayed her, how they betrayed her, and she seems to see it all. And I'm not sure though if that's her being uber intelligent or the paranoia starting to kick in of her becoming mad, thinking that everyone's gonna betray her.
Well, yeah. I guess they didn't really hide it that well either. You know what I mean? So, like, you could follow that string of, like, yeah, Varys knows. Who's going to tell him that? You. Who's going to tell you that? Sansa. Who's going to tell Sansa? John. Like, that trail of breadcrumbs is pretty easy. You know what I mean? Right. So, yeah. Let's not give her too much credit.
Now, was Varys that death a good death? Like, you look at some of these characters and some of them just kind of go and you're like, oh, that's kind of it. Others have like sweet deaths. We'll get to some of those here coming up later in the episode. But Varys, and he even had a quote where he looks at Tyrion and he's obviously very calm, like classic Varys. And he says, like, I hope I'm wrong. And, when referring to Dany. Yeah. And clearly he wasn't, because what happened later on, he was absolutely correct about. But I did really love, so, like, he's getting executed, and you have an idea of how they're going to do it, And then the shot of Danny's dragon right above like her head was fucking awesome.
I was wondering the whole time. I'm like, the dragon's coming, because the way they shot it, like they were in like the very bottom of the screen and like all this black space above them. And you're like, it's got to be coming. It's got to be coming. You know?
And I think one of the cool parts for me, I actually took notes this time instead of live tweeting it. So you're welcome, Twitter. One of the things I noticed was that when they burned Varys alive, he didn't scream. He like nothing. It was just silence. He took it like a fucking G is what happened. And I think that kind of speaks to him and his character. And I'm not sure if that's a play on like the whole thing where when he lost his penis, like he heard yelling in the flames when the magician threw it in the fire. But at the same time, like I thought it was really cool.
Right.
Oh, that's like a good callback.
That is a great callback is right.
Yeah,
absolutely. So how would you say Varys as a character now that his book has been written, how do you think his arc was? To me, he was always one of the more intriguing characters. I really liked his arc. And I know one of the complaints about this whole season is they're kind of rushing to an end and like, why can't they stretch this out a little bit more? And maybe you could say the same thing about him is like, you know, he got a little bit of information. And for the first time, this information is what kind of cost him his life because of what he was doing. And like the episode opens with him, you know, writing. Who do you think he was writing to in that?
Everyone. I think he was trying to send all like ravens everywhere, because you saw him writing several notes and maybe some of them got off. Like, and maybe he got them to like Braavos and Pentos and Dorne, and maybe they got there.
Good point. Yeah, we could. And maybe next
episode. Even make out some of the words too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Eddard Stark was in there. Rhaegar Targaryen was in there. Yeah. True Aer. Yeah, all that stuff was in there for sure.
I thought his death, well, you know, he's the master of whispers, as they call them, you know, and they even called him that in this episode. And I thought it was ironic and poetic justice that he died not spreading rumors, but telling the truth.
Yeah.
Like that, like, you know what I mean? Like, he lived his whole life like lying and with like secrets. And like the one time he actually tells someone the truth, he dies.
No, that's pretty good. I also really enjoyed how early in the episode, like, how Dany Targaryen looked physically, like you could tell something was up with her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they did a really good job there. Like, her hair was all a mess. Like, her face, like, looked so different than normal. And you were like, she's losing it. Mm-hmm. But as the episode was going on, you're like, all right, she's just helping them in battle. And, like, she hasn't snapped yet. You know what I mean? Like, because based on what happened the episode before, you thought there was a good chance that she could just start just – right away, like immediately. And as you're watching, she's like, all right, they're just trying to win. Like, they still need to go to war, but she hasn't lost her mind yet. What do you think made her completely snap? Like, once they were going, because, you know, the bells were supposed to signify we give up. Like, that's it. We could call our men back. Mm-hmm. Like, they give up. Like, the symbolic of, you know, the army dropping their swords, which I know Danny didn't see, but she heard the bells ringing and she was like, nah. I'm not going out that way.
I think for her, it was like she turned into a shark in the water. Like, she smelled blood and like just immediately her eyes went red. And she's like, we have them on the ropes. Missandei was taken from me by these people. I've lost Jorah. I've lost so much now. I'm done just trying to save people, and just made a statement and obliterated everything in her path.
And I think the scene with John where she asked him, like, is that all I am? Like, I'm just a queen to you. Like, we're not doing this. We're not like, we're not going to get married. We're not going to do this. So like, she's like, fine. And then after that, I mean, I was saying to my wife, when we were sitting on the couch, like, everyone she trusts is gone. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't trust anybody anymore. And like, you could Tyrion, but like, she doesn't trust him anymore either.
No, I would say the only one she trusts is Grey Worm. And I thought it was a pretty good scene where, you know, there was like, all right, we're doing a truth. Like, okay, truths. And then as soon as he saw her like burning the city, he's like, not truths. Mm-hmm. Fucking chucks the spear, kills the guy, and then they just go to war. And you're like, so he's the one guy left, I think, that would do anything that she says. Now, he has an army that listens to him, so like, whatever. But like, as far as like characters that like have a name in the show, Grey Worm's the only one that would do anything she says, especially now.
And I know we had talked about last week how we thought maybe he'd kind of break ranks a little bit. So I did my darndest to keep track of his on-screen kill count this week. Grey Worm racked up, from what I could see, a solid 14 kills.
Oof.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. And that's all with a spear, right?
Hell yeah.
I mean, that's
went to work.
That's there was pretty... one point where he threw the spear and then magically had it again. I'm not gonna, you know, there's dragons, but like, yeah.
Dragons, Ryan, I understand there was the element of surprise last week.
Yes.
But do you see the damage that one dragon has done?
Yes.
She had two dragons last week, and for a while she had three. Now, I understand what you're saying, and you're saying, well, she hadn't lost her mind yet. However, three dragons seems like it's unstoppable. And then I'll say, all right, fine, Army of the Dead, I'll chalk off the one.
Yeah.
Two dragons. I feel like if she just wanted to take over or at least ruin all of Greyjoy's ships, even if it gets shot once, there's no way it's going to get shot three times the way that it did, considering this one dodged every single, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm all about, like, this is the world we're in. There's dragons. There's also dragon arrows. Got it. But this dragon can't get hit. The other one couldn't get out of the way.
Like you said, the element of surprise, I think, had helped them there. But again, like, these are stationary weapons that take hours to reload. So, you know, and I think that was the, you know, you see them like trying to reload quickly and that thing's just coming, you know, but I don't understand how two dragons can't take out like eight ships, but one dragon can take out like 50
ships and all of King's Landing,
literally an entire civilization of people in just a matter of 20 minutes.
Just the whole thing.
I felt like Drogon, in honor of the release of Detective Pikachu, evolved and learned some evasive tactics.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. Shime, your two-word review of Detective Pikachu again?
Quite fun.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Do you think while Dany is burning the city down, do you think she's like, screw it, this is just what I'm doing? Or is she honestly thinking to herself, once I wipe these people out, I take Cersei out of power, people will respect me? Or does she not even care anymore at this point?
Well, she talked about that whole thing with like fear. Like, you know, she wanted people to like worship her, but now everyone just is afraid of her. So you just own it now at this point, right? If you're just going to, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. If that's the way things are going to be, let's do it. You know,
yeah, she is
if
going to be afraid of me,
fine.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think it is too.
The one thing that like I kept thinking of in my head too is like her father's quote. The one thing that we saw him say the entire series is just burn them all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and then that's what Missandei said too when she got decapitated. Now, I can't imagine that Dany heard her because she was like three football fields away, but that is what Missandei said, right? I mean,
it is.
I don't know if they got like the mic'd up version, like later on, she was watching it back at the at the crib. She was like, oh yeah, it's Missandei say, you know, burn them all, I guess.
Someone just said in the chat, if John just put out, this wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, so why do you think he's done with that?
I think he is like, well, it's his aunt, so that's weird.
You know, I mean, most of us, that would be a line that we would draw, sure.
Yeah.
I think that's his line, though.
It may not be his line. So what's his problem? How come?
So I think he recognizes that she is kind of turning away from him because of the whole I'm Aegon Targaryen thing. And I think he senses that something is wrong with her. And she's just trying to hide it. She's doing what Cersei did with Jaime all those years, except John is a lot more emotionally intelligent than Jaime is, and was like, no, like, this is not working. Like, this, we can't just keep trying to mask this.
Yeah, that's true. What'd you guys think of the Tyrion, Jaime, couple of good scenes? One, you know, while he's chained up, which again is classic, like when Robb Stark had him and he's sitting down on the ground and he's all chained up, is like, literally looked the same scene as that. But Tyrion goes in there, gets him out, and kind of hatches up a plan a little bit. Did you think this plan had any chance of making it?
Zero percent chance of that happening. No, that was a great scene with the two of
good
them.
Good night, Ryan.
No, I'm just bored with your question.
It's mother. And by the way, big up to all the mothers out there. Speaking of mother of dragons, big up to all the moms out there.
Yeah. Who's the best mom in the history of Game of Thrones?
Catelyn Stark.
100%.
Has to be.
What's it? Lady Arryn. You know, she's keeping the kid close to the feet the whole time. You know, that's a real mom. You know, stay close to me. Suckle at my breast. Even though you got hair in your peaches, you know, get in there. you know. No.
No. I forgot all about her. She's definitely she is in a way definitely the best mom.
Squirting her milk all the way down the moon door, right?
The kid's like 10 and a half.
No, he's older than that. Remember when he like crawled up into her lap and you're like, good gravy. What are we doing here?
Yeah, definitely the top mom on this.
Good mom, though.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. May she rest in peace.
Yikes.
Oh, boy. But Tyrion, but Tyrion gave it one last shot. He was like, I am going to free Jaime, you know, give him one last shot, get him out of there. And didn't work. Now, Jaime got kind of shut out from like getting in there. Like that was kind of like a, like the mob scene there. And then he had a workaround though. Like he's
trying
to
wave his claw.
Me. Let
soldier. Soldier, can you not see me?
It's like, get out of here. Like get out of here. What did you guys think of Jaime and Euron's little one-on-one? To me, that kind of seemed out of nowhere. And like, I was like, okay, but it wasn't like a great payoff for me.
But it's great. It fits the character though, because the Euron Greyjoy is like that Johnny come lately. Like, oh, you're not okay, great. Now you're gonna come like you come try to kill me now, like at the last possible minute. And then when he goes, and his last words are, "I'm the man who killed Jaime Lannister,"
right?
Which is like basically all he wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like I think the idea of them fighting was good, but the thing I noticed immediately is Jaime is a terrible swordsman now. He lost to a guy with a knife.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's no good. He got daggered. That's pretty good. Tough, yeah.
Man. He didn't even have a sword. He had a knife and you lost and you had a sword.
So Euron Greyjoy is definitely dead, right?
I would say yes.
Yes, he's dead.
I would say so. How would you rate his arc on the show? He was a late ad. He'd only been in a handful of episodes. I think made a name for himself for sure. He killed a dragon. Mm-hmm. He made sweet love to Cersei. He captured Yara, which I guess nobody really cares like, about.
Cool. Where is Yara? Are they coming back? They can come back.
They could come back.
Yeah.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 6 or 0 to 6, how impactful was Euron Greyjoy?
I don't know, like a 3.
Yeah, yeah, 3.
Probably.
Like he got the Iron Fleet. It's so disappointing. There, but like the Iron Fleet turned out to be useless. I mean, that's the one thing that I'm not hating, you know. So if there is one part of this that I don't like right now is they have all these huge. They've been building these set pieces like this whole time, and then they don't pay off.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole thing with like getting the Iron Fleet to protect King's Landing, they were gone in seconds.
The Golden Company. Harry Strickland was the most useless thing I've ever seen.
Gone. The generals with the Night King, gone. Like they like all of these things we've been building up for seasons just don't pay off, which is frustrating. It doesn't make it bad. It's just kind of frustrating for me.
And I'm going to be the total book nerd that you guys both know that I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you that in the books, Euron is this one-eyed with the eye patch who's supposed to have a second eye under the eye patch that controls people's minds. He has a horn that binds dragons that when you blow it, you die. Like, he's way cooler there than he was ever portrayed here. Like, he came in, he was this ugly-ass dude the first time we saw him. Then he went through, like, an emo glam up and wore a bunch of black leather. And he banged Cersei and killed a dragon. And that's literally all he did. Like, that's all he was there for.
Still the best Greyjoy, though, right?
Still the best Greyjoy.
Yeah.
I guess. If I have to.
It's not a good group. It's not.
Can I take the priest that's still on Iron Islands?
Yes. You may have him.
I'll take him.
Yeah, but Euron, just, all right, like, to me, it was sort of like, all right, they didn't really know what else to do with him, and so they were like, all right, he's done. Like, we don't want him in the last episode. But, I don't know, that seemed kind of it. Now, at any point, did you think when Euron and Jaime were fighting, this is what I kind of thought, that maybe Arya was going to sneak up on him, maybe they both die, maybe they just kill each other, and then that's when Arya would get Jaime's face and go into the capital.
Yeah, I thought she was going to catch them coming out. Like as they were coming out, whether or catch Jaime going in, mm-hmm. swap them. Or I thought she was going to get the Meister there, the
Qyburn.
What an awesome death that guy had too.
So good.
That one was, of the best. Yeah, like, exactly. Like we're talking about like
quick.
Cool like death.
Super quick. Yeah.
Just that like, was one of the best deaths ever. He's like, hey, listen to your queen.
And I go, and as soon as it was like, it was perfect timing, unintentionally by me, because like he said, like, you obey your queen. And I go, get the fuck out of here. As he grabbed him and throws him. And I'm like, that was perfect timing.
even my wife, who's like not the biggest fan of violence, even she was like excited about that death. She was like, oh, that was awesome. I'm like, yo, that was awesome. He's just like, he just, get out of here. How did he die? He got thrown down the stairs.
His head, the back of his head blew out after he hit a rock.
He's getting shoved down the stairs, like, piss off. And that's one of those guys, Shine, what's that guy's name?
Qyburn. Spike. That's nice.
What is it?
Qyburn.
Exactly. So this guy's been in the fucking show for like 100 episodes. No, I don't even know his name. I love the show. I'm a diehard fan of the show. I would have lost that. If that was a bet for $1,000, I wouldn't have gotten
it. Gun to your head. What's that guy's name? You would have.
Sean, gun to my head. James, gun to my dick. Wouldn't have gotten that name. Yeah. Wouldn't have gotten. Dead. Would have been a dead man. Just like that guy going down the stairs. He's like, get out of here. So Clegane Bowl, Ryan, I'll give you the floor. Clegane Bowl. Did it live up to it?
It did. I'm sitting there, like, I'm watching them, like, kind of square. And you see Cersei kind of, like, that was the best part. She's, like, kind of, like, trying to sneak by. She's
like really meek. She's like, yeah. See ya.
But I'm, like, I'm looking at it. I'm, like, don't fight him on the stairs. Don't fight him on the stairs. Like, he's on top of the stairs. He's got, like, the high ground, Anakin.
I was waiting for that, especially because he looks like a fucking old Anakin Skywalker, too.
Yeah, he did. He did. I like the helmet comes off, then the armor comes off, and you see just kind of, like, how messed up he actually was, and what the Oberyn Martell poison did to him.
Mm-hmm. Like that was whatever the Lannister scientists and whatever they cooked up.
You could still see like where he got cut, and it was like that. There was like a cool look to it. I thought it was a fitting end for the Hound going out in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of them going out in the fire. I thought that was really good. You had some good thumb in the eye action.
He was about to go the way of
Oberyn. To go like crush his head. Yeah,
just like Oberyn. He was almost done when he hit him. First of all, he was doing like the rabid like spikes to like this neck, and nothing was happening. And then he just goes right through the head.
Yeah,
still didn't kill him.
You're like, I love that, but I love that.
Like he may not be dead, by the way.
Yeah,
Mountain he may not be dead,
but he's still the Hound. Where he's just like, just fucking die. Yeah. Like he's still one of my favorite characters, and I'm glad he got sent. If he is gone, that he got sent out that way.
Yeah.
I love what they did with that fight. It pissed me off at first. So like they start fighting and then they cut to effing Cersei trying to make her way through the freaking castle and find Jaime. I'm like, can't you save that for after they fight? And then they cut back to them. And I think it was so funny because I just started laughing at how fucking strong the Mountain was. Oh my God. Then the Hound started laughing too. And he just couldn't stop laughing because he's like, this guy won't fucking die.
Yeah.
That was like, that's like the only reaction you can have is he just started laughing in his face.
Yeah.
He's like, you're insane. But that was just, that was so good. And even like the buildup to it, like there's two different scenes of the Hound and Arya. Like talk like that relationship is one of the best ones we have had going. Hound and Mountain, definitely the most marquee deaths of any episode is in this one, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Right? I mean, so you have Varys right out of the chute, you have the Hound, you have the Mountain. I think it's fair to say Jaime and Cersei, correct?
Yep.
And you're on, right? So that's a six pack of deaths, right?
Qyburn counts as a major character.
Qyburn does count. No, he does. He does. Wait, Freight, remind me who that is again.
The
guy in the black robes.
He might have had one of the coolest deaths. So you had a death via dragon. You had Jaime kill somebody. You had the Clegane Bowl, double KO. You got to
double KO.
Really, the only way to go, I would say, is the double KO.
The only way to go. Yep.
But it's funny because this show. And like sometimes they are guilty of taking some of like the internet rumors and like theories and kind of applying it to the show. But between Mad Queen and Clegane Bowl, we've been hearing about and hoping for like a couple of years now. And I think I would have been more disappointed had they not done it. Like had they tried to swerve either one of those. So the fact that they put them both in here, I think overall it's good. I have no complaints as far as those two things were concerned.
No, no complaints. And if that, like you said, even if you know it's coming, that's got to pay off. It has to pay off some way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then again, like I said, I mean, the issue I'm having with this season is like a lot of stuff isn't paying off.
Yeah.
So they could have not done it and it would have been on par with everything else in this season. But
I think this is the one storyline that they've had since the very beginning that has paid off properly. Like, it's the one they've done such a shit job of storytelling this season. And they're just trying to give us those moments that shock us and awe us instead of focusing on the story, which has done that on its own. And this was the only moment so far in season 8 that has been completely story driven and still shocked and awed us at the same time.
Yeah.
What the fuck was with Arya and that horse? What does that mean at the end?
The only death comes in a pale horse, right?
Mm. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. So there's that, and the horse is kind of beat up. And someone mentioned it too, and I wanted to get back to the Clegane Bowl too, but there were these awesome cuts between like them fighting and then Arya just getting like the shit beat out of her by the city. Like by the, you know what I mean? So it's getting like hit, like every time Sandor got hit, she would get hit with like rubble, and like it was like this
when she was getting trampled by the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good scene, like going back and forth between the two. Mm-hmm. And like it also gave you the ground level experience of Dany torching everybody, like right, like you could see it from her. Who do you think was more disgusted with Dany, Jon Snow or Arya? Because those are the two that we really kind of like lived it through.
I think Jon's disgusted with Dany. I think Arya's disgusted with Jon. Oh, like Jon went along with this. Like Jon should have known. You know, you should have known that this was going to happen. We told you this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And this, look what you did, basically. And I think what's going to boil down to is I think Arya is going to think Jon's partly responsible for this because he went along with it. And definitely Sansa. And definitely Sansa and Bran. Or Bran, not so much. But Sansa's going to be like, the hard, I told you so.
Isn't this leading up to Jon Snow is going to have to kill Dany, right?
Well, Arya. It's going to have to be one of the two. And I thought it was really cool when she was, one of the shots they had of her running through the city was right after she like woke up from getting knocked out from all the rubble and ash and stuff. And she's basically like all white. It literally looked like she was like almost like a White Walker. Like she was like the embodiment of death, just like running through the streets, trying to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was definitely sick. That was really good.
Now, she's got a concussion. She needs
She's in the concussion protocol.
She'd be going to
the should be in the, don't let her sleep. Somebody's got to wake her up every, like on the hour.
They
like,
got to get trainers on that right away. Mm-hmm.
What if she's wearing sunglasses all next episode? You're like, what the fuck? She's like, I have a light sensitivity now and this is my life. So get used to it. So Cersei and Jaime, again, if you think throwing the one guy down the stairs is like the coolest death,
yep,
Cersei and Jaime, I could honestly be talked into either way. Like on the one hand, they're together, they're underneath, the rubble's coming down because of the dragon. So you're like, all right, the dragons are like what take them down. But it's also not as like personal as if like Arya got to do it, or if Jon Snow got to do it, or I really thought Jaime was gonna kill Cersei at some point, some way, and that's obviously not what we got.
No, he had her like by the back of the head in one moment when they were down, and then I'm like, he's gonna stab her. He's gonna take her, you know. But I think he knew, you know. I love the futility of him jumping on like this pile of rubble, like looking to see if there's like a hole that he could, like, no, dude, that's blocked.
We'll
like,
squeeze through this way. Come on,
yeah.
Hey, help me. He should have been like, help me move these rocks. You're like, no, dude, we're not getting through there.
God, I was actually really disappointed with how they died. Like, I felt like, so for me, like Dany storming the city, there's a dragon blowing all this fire around. And the first thing that popped into my head, like while she's standing up there in the castle, was like, I had Admiral Ackbar yelling at me, it's a trap. And I'm just like, oh, like there's going to be a bunch of wildfire. Like all her troops are going to die, something to that effect. And just nothing kept happening. And it's just, Cersei just got more and more scared. And it was like, well, what the fuck's the point of this? Like, she's just standing in this castle getting scared. And then she goes down, she finds Jaime, and then they just get crushed by a bunch of rubble. Like, I understand the symbolism of them going out together, which is great.
Right.
But at the same time, their death itself was facilitated by them being stupid. Like, it wasn't facilitated by plot or by person. It was just happenstance, which is just dumb. I don't like that.
Although, and I don't think, I do agree it was more happenstance, but wasn't it Tyrion that told them to go down there?
It was. Yeah, he's like, well, he said there's going to be a staircase and just keep going until you get there.
He said go down there.
The boat was there.
But now he had no idea that Dany was going to, actually, he may have had an idea, but like he wasn't planning on Dany ruining everything. And like they definitely made it clear, like, hey, like the bell rings, you don't do that, right? So who rang the bell? Was it Jaime?
No, I think it's just like
because you heard people. Yeah, you heard people yelling, "Ring the bell, ring the bell."
Okay, but it wasn't because it wasn't on Cersei's command.
No,
because she was holding there for a while. You're like, "What you doing up there? Like, you're not gonna do well."
It was so frustrating.
Yeah,
the red creeper's never fallen before. It won't fall today. Fucking dragon is burning everything to the effing ground, dude. Like, figure even it out.
Johnny, what's his name, is still like, no, they're inside now.
Yeah. All the scorpions are gone.
And they're like, no, and they're all it's like the scorpions will shoot him. They're gone. The Iron Fleet will. They're gone too.
She's like, but Euron, he killed a dragon. You're like, yeah, that's great. He's also dead, by the way. But like, that's just it's not happening. All right, where's Tyrion at right now? Because he was closer to the battle and to everything that was going on, and we didn't really get. I'm trying to think when like the last update on Tyrion was.
He was walking kind of through the field, like he was walking through the battlefield. If I'm Tyrion right now, I run. I cut bait and I'm out. You know, if he goes back there, like, she's going to kill him if he goes back in there.
I don't think she's going to kill him, though, because
she said, you fail me, the next time you fail me would be the last time you fail me. I wouldn't walk in that room.
He hasn't failed her, though, and I think he's fully out to try and basically fulfill what Varys had said. He's like, I hope to God I'm not wrong, but if I am wrong, well, then you'll know. And
but would she get word back that she let Jaime go?
Well, he's dead, so I don't think she really cares.
Yeah, maybe not, but he still turned on her.
He did.
And it's funny because there was a scene in episode 2, maybe, where Danny was yelling at Tyrion, and Tyrion says to Jorah Mormont and Varys, he's like, I have a feeling that one of you guys will be wearing this at some point.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Not happening.
I mean, unless they do like a weekend at Bernie's where they like prop them up. It's Varys. Here he is. Yeah, Davos is still alive. Davos is still going. He made eyes with John a few times during the battle. He's like, yeah, this isn't going great. He's like, this is not what we had in mind.
did you find yourself saying, speaking of that going on, not going great, I found myself in moments in this episode when the dragon is burning the streets where I was just like, stop. Like, I was saying it like out. I found myself like saying it out loud. Like, yeah. Okay, enough.
I kind of liked it. And I know it was like predictable for Danny to do this, but I still was like, if you're going to do it, don't half-ass it. You don't burn like a block and you're like, hey, see, this is what we're capable of. Like, you just go all out. Like,
by the way, Cersei Lannister in the chat said it was the worst ending ever. Sorry, Cersei.
I've been laughing here for the last like 5 minutes because I've been reading.
Cersei Lannister thinks the ending sucked.
Thank you for coming back from the grave to tell us how bad it was, Cersei. I appreciate that.
All right, so what... Cersei should have gone out better than this.
Oh, 100%.
She deserved that. She deserved better by deserving worse.
It's like, I have never seen a show build up two villains to this point of pure dominance between Cersei and the Night King and then completely let you down on how they die. Like, it is just the most anticlimactic deaths for these two behemoths I've ever seen. And I can't understand why.
At the very least, Night King's death made Arya so much better. So, like, in wrestling, like, it got Arya over, whereas the Cersei death was just like...
did nothing.
You got caught in an earthquake. Like...
it's like, oh no, I was under the castle instead of outside.
Avalanche. Like, yeah, you're dead.
You're dead.
Does Cersei go down as the best Game of Thrones villain, or do you go more with like Ramsay because of just how outrageous he was? Yeah.
Cause like, I think the Ramsay storyline in every aspect paid off. We got to see how horrible he was in every aspect between torturing Theon and raping Sansa and all these things and feeding people to his hounds. But then we got the payoff of him getting beaten by Jon, beating the crap beat out of him. And then Sansa puts him in this chair, ties him up and feeds him to dogs. Yeah. Like, and that was such a good payoff where all these other deaths and all these other villains have sucked at the end of this show.
I think Littlefinger's up there too for me.
Yeah,
death was a great payoff.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's true. And I think going back to Ramsay, like, that really pushes Sansa to where she's at now. Like, Sansa even said so last episode. Like, without Littlefinger, without Ramsay, without Joffrey, she's not who she is now. Mm-hmm. So, spinning it ahead to actually, before we get into the next episode, let's go MVP of this episode and LVP, least valuable player for this episode. Let's go first with MVP. Who stood out to you? Who do you think was the best of episode five?
Drogon.
Drogon was dominant. Is it definitely
just
Drogon?
Just a dominating performance. It's Drogon, yeah.
For sure, that's who's left? Okay, oh, yeah. So I think I agree. Sean, that's a good one because the him appearing out of the darkness to kill Varys is awesome.
That was such a good scene.
Yeah. And then he just melted faces. So he was really good. You got it. The Hound? I know, David.
I was going to give it to Sandor Clegane, MVP of the episode. Basically saved Arya's life. And the Clegane Bowl was kick-ass. So I'm going to say Sandor Clegane had the tip of the cap to you, sir. MVP.
Those are probably the two, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Hound and Drogon.
So I guess...
What about Dany? I think... I've been down on Dany, and this is it. This was sort of the payoff to like her... The way she was going, like kind of pushing her towards this way, and this is it. Like she went full go. She didn't half-ass it. She went complete nuts, and I can't wait to see how she responds. And that, because let's face it. So we said she has Grey Worm on her side, but she also has the Unsullied and the Dothraki. Like they're all on board.
Oh, they're all in.
In fact, they like her even more because of this.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jon turns on her, or if Arya or Sansa, you have like another battle on your hands because she does have an army. You know, like that's going to be impossible, I think, to get them to turn on her.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's why, like, her death needs to be almost like a private death. Like, it has to be like her and John in a room, and she, or her and Arya in a room by themselves where there's no one else around. And it's like, okay, maybe like Arya kills Grey Worm as she walks into the room. And then it's just Arya and Dany. They have this conversation, and she just like plunges the knife into her face.
Hmm. Could be. I gotta see. Arya's gotta steal somebody's face. God, I gotta see a face steal.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think Jon's gotta do it.
I think Jon's doing it.
I'm also curious because like the end of last episode, so Arya and the Hound were riding towards King's Landing, and she said, "I don't plan on coming back either." So like, what's like? Was she serious? Like, is that the case now, or did she give up on that because of Clegane when they were standing on the map there in the Red Keep? Is that where she's like abandoned that hatred because she like he convinced her like this is not the way that you need to go?
Maybe she goes and meets back up with Gendry. Maybe she second guesses it and be like,
goes you know back what to I'm, the Stormlands.
You go, yeah. Maybe that's like this be, isn't it.
Unfortunately, there's going to be like no real payoff to like her and like the Faceless Men because there's still some unfinished business there with like Jaqen H'ghar. And so I wonder, do you think next episode? So again, I think it's another one of these like 80-minute episodes. Do you think there's a chance it's like an hour? Sort of figure out, all right, what happens with Dany, who's on the throne, and then they like jump in time and like to sort of like let you like, all right, here's where everybody is now, and like they kind of age him up a little bit or something like that. Like I feel like, or do you think it just kind of ends?
So it ends like Conan, where like Jon Snow's doing like the pose on like the throne, and it has like the scroll and like the voiceover,
and they're like, you know, and that's when Arya like moved back up to Winterfell.
It's another story, you know.
No, yeah, it's just Sam. It's old Sam reading to his kids. He's like, and then this is what happened.
And your uncle Jon, for whom you are named, took the throne.
God damn it! I want the Conan ending. That's what I want. If you guys if you don't know in the chat what I'm talking about, look at the end of Conan the Barbarian. Watch the end of that movie, just the end credits. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
See, I think it's going to be just, and I hope it's not this way, but I think just the way the writing has been this season, I think we're going to be let down by the ending. Like whatever we hope it is, I think it's going to be different. Because like for me, I hope that it's going to be like whoever is going to take the throne. It's just like them walking to the throne, screen goes black. I'm done. Like, I don't need to see you sit on it. I need insinuation. I need open end a little bit, but like have my answers and that's it. And like, I don't need a time jump. I don't need any of that shit. Mm-hmm. I just need to see the main people die that need to die. I need to see a clear pathway to who's the king and just like insinuate it for me and end it.
Let's circle back to least valuable player from the game. So we're going to go co-champs, Drogon and the Hound for MVP of the episode. The least valuable player would be...
Who are you going with?
Man. It might be Euron.
Yeah. I'm going to go...
Euron great.
Kyren, maybe?
Tyrion Lannister.
Tyrion. Mm.
The cleverest man in the world is not that clever anymore. He sucked. He got everyone killed. So he got Varys killed. Then he got his brother killed. You know, so he's like, what do you do? What is the point of you?
What is it you say you do here?
We need to figure out what your deal is.
We just got to figure out what Chunky's deal is. He wasn't great either. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Tyrion still alive though. So here are the pieces that are still on the board. All right, first of all, Sansa not in the episode at all.
Yep.
I will say it for the 1,000th time. Dario Naharis not in the episode.
Not at all.
He's got a cut. So Varys sent ravens.
He's not coming. He's not coming.
So here's the bullshit with me. It's like Dario, especially. I'll rant on this for a second, then we can move on. But Dany, clearly, the whole point is like nobody has her back. Nobody has her back. Nobody has her back. Dario Naharis would very much have her back.
Oh, yeah.
And her front, if you catch what I'm saying.
He already has.
I think that they were so they didn't have the time to figure out like the Dario, Jon Snow, Dany triangle. And so they were like, let's not even bother. But like he's actually a very important part of this whole thing. Like he could have really helped her out. But anyway.
Also, did we see Ilaria Sand and the last Sand Snake? Did we actually see them die or they were just left to die?
So the mom, all the daughters we know are dead, I believe. The mom, they
put her in a jail and left her there.
Yeah,
right. Poison the daughter.
I think it's insinuated that she's dead.
Yeah, right.
Because they specifically said in the last episode too that there's a new Prince of Dorne who supports Dany. So I don't think they care about the Sand Snakes anymore.
But as far as major characters who are still alive that weren't in the episode would be Sansa, Brienne, Samwell, I mean, I guess Yara ish. I don't know if she's a main character or not. Gendry, right? So they were not in the episode at all. Tormund also, right? Tormund and Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost. So the characters that were in the episode that survived were obviously Jon and Dany. They're really setting something up for them, as well as Arya and Tyrion and Davos, Grey Worm. Mm. Grey Worm's lasted a lot longer than I thought he was going to. I thought he was out episode 3.
Could also be an MVP argument for this episode too, with all the kills he had.
Big kill count.
Yeah, mad kills. According to Shyam, he had 14 kills.
Women and children. I don't know if they count. But
well, a kill is a kill.
On screen kills for Grey Worm, no women and children. All men in armor.
Okay.
I respect that, Grey Worm. Let it go. Let it go. So least valuable player. Yeah, I guess Euron, Tyrion. Those are probably the guys. All right.
Cersei, by the way, cries a lot. Crying a lot.
Oh, God.
I actually thought it was a good Cersei episode. It was a lot of acting with her face.
Ugh. Yep.
You know, like the Cersei. I thought she was good.
She's been so hardcore and stoic and cruel, and now it's just
crying. I'm just gonna
get sadder and sadder as I watch my city burn instead of actually doing anything or running or surrendering, and then she just dies in an avalanche.
You know what's also funny to look back on is
Time out. Joey Gloucester just said Qyburn is the LVP. I have no idea who that is. I don't know who that is.
That sounds like a made up. Was he watching a different show?
Different show. Yeah. Different show.
This was Game of Thrones we were doing.
Yeah. We don't know who that is.
Game of Thrones. fuck. What was I just going to say?
Nice job, Joey.
Screwed it up. The hell were we talking about?
LVPs? Oh.
Yeah, no. So like, if you go back to episode one of season one, Ned Stark goes, right? Yep. And if you think back now, 7 or 8 seasons later, of all the major houses and who has the most people left, and it's the Starks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Bran, add Bran to the list. He's still alive, right?
Last episode, they had the last of the Starks as their episode title. Like, I don't know if they're pushing something or insinuating something, but like they technically have the most pieces on the board.
Lannisters have one, Targaryen has one, Baratheons have one. Like Greyjoy has one. Like it's just Starks. All you got is Starks left.
Yeah.
It's just Starks all over the place. Sorry. So what do we got for next week?
I have another LVP candidate before we move forward. My other LVP candidate, because it's been pissing me off all week, even before this episode, is Bovada for making odds saying that Bran is favored to win the Iron Throne. You're a bunch of morons. If that man sits on the throne, I'm going to lose my shit. I'm done.
I'd have a bad time. That's not a good ending. I don't want that to be the ending. Please don't let that be the ending.
The other people said the Golden Company.
Oh, good, the worst.
Good call. That's the good call.
Useless. We're going to pay all this money for 20,000 men and no elephants, and they're all going to die without killing a single bird.
Does Cersei win that battle if she had elephants?
Yes.
Maybe. 100%. An elephant could kill a dragon.
Are elephants fireproof? Don't answer that.
I think they
burn more, which is weird.
But they drink a lot of water, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, but it's an arid climate they live in. It's very dry where they
are. Have really good memories though, so they would understand flight patterns. They'd be like, "This is the way the fucking Drogon flew in." So they'd sniff it out. They would know. All right, last episode coming up on Sunday. Here's one idea. Let me ask you guys this. We got one request. Is it worth doing a pregame show for?
We
could do like a 15-minute pregame show.
Yep. But it's got to be like 8 to 8:30. Like we can't even. I'm not even going to risk missing.
No. It'd be like maybe like 8:30 to 8:45.
Yeah, exactly. Right in that time frame.
And then that way you can stretch. Maybe you know.
If you haven't noticed, I'm the Game of Thrones whore, so I'll do any kind of Game of Thrones content I can get my hands on.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the obvious stuff is going to have to be a confrontation between John and Danny. I think the way it's all setting up is obviously John on the throne, but I'm hoping they don't give us that. I would like a swerve there. I think that's too obvious. And this show, I've been saying it for years now, cannot have a happy ending. It wouldn't make sense.
Nope, does not make sense.
And George R. R. Martin even said that like he wants an ending that is bittersweet. It's like, okay, your heroes win, but at what cost?
Mm-hmm. Also, there was like a lot of talk in the in-between seasons after John and Danny boinked on the boat that their kid was obviously going to be like in power. But they, to this point, have made zero reference to her being pregnant. She hasn't made any kind of like, she hasn't like even like touched her stomach. She hasn't done anything on that front.
Pregnant women do that a lot.
They let you know, trust me.
That's something I would not know, being single.
But no, but like, wouldn't that kind of come out of nowhere? I'm not saying they won't do that, but that would kind of come out of nowhere in the last episode.
Yeah, it would. That would be like a...
Like, okay, fine.
That's
like,
fan service at that point.
Yeah, that's what I think. So... Because that was one of, I think a lot of people had their unborn baby as like the leader to be on the throne at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What are your guys' picks now? Who do you have?
Give me Sansa Stark.
I think that's a good one. I think we've all said the idea of her. Well, first of all, like King's Landing is not even a thing anymore.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
The Iron Throne might not even be a thing, but so like, just who's in charge? I think Sansa has as good a chance as anybody.
I think it's going to be Tyrion and Sansa. They're going to split it in half.
Mm.
She's going to be the queen in the north.
I also still like the idea that no one rules the throne. There's no throne. Everybody's basically independent with some kind of council, kind of like what Davey said. Like Tyrion kind of controls or leads the southern area while Sansa gets the north, and I think John's gonna live and he's gonna head back to the wall and just like retire with Tormund and Ghost, like slinging beers and drinking milk from giant's titties,
drinking out of a horn, drinking giants, killing giants, sleeping with their wives, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
No, I think you might be right, because especially if you think about how they've set this up, like they're all friends with Yara, and Yara's in one place, like they're all friends with Gendry, Gendry's in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Dario Naharis, but whatever. Like, they're all ruling certain places. So I think you're more likely to have, like, 5 or 6 people in charge.
Yep. Brienne gets a house?
Brienne could, yeah.
I don't think Braun. So.
Oh, we didn't see Braun this episode.
Oh, it was Braun.
Oh, true.
Where the fuck was Braun?
That's another thing that didn't pay off.
Hey, probably still hanging out in the north to kind of
avoid. Well, didn't he say, now he has to give him Highgarden, right? Now Tyrion has to give him Highgarden.
Or Tyrion doesn't have to give him anything, because Cersei's not there to pay him if he kills Tyrion either.
No, but he said if if you help, well, he didn't really help him.
Yeah, he's got nothing. He's got nothing. I think he was just trying to stay alive, and he did. As far
and
as
I
know,
and I don't think Tyrion also has the sway anymore to give anybody anything.
No.
All right, so prediction time, and maybe we will do a pregame. If we do a pregame, we'll tweet it out and we'll let you guys know when we're doing it. But does the following characters, yes or no, do they survive next episode?
Okay.
Dany Targaryen.
No.
No.
No chance. Drogon.
No, if Dany dies, nope. Drogon dies.
I agree. Yeah, because it's going to be hard to kill Dany if Drogon's around.
Mm-hmm.
Jon Snow.
Yes.
No.
I say no. I'm a no on Snow.
I like being alone.
Yeah. Lone wolf. What about Ghost?
I think Ghost definitely survives. He's
Ghost,
right
Ghost lives for 50 years and dies peacefully. Davos. He's a good boy.
Davos lives.
Davos lives.
Sansa, I think we all think she lives.
She lives.
Arya.
I don't think she's making it.
I'm going to say yes.
I really hope so.
I hope so too.
I really hope so. But
she's a coin flip.
I think we're going to get the whole Arya either helps Jon kill Dany or she kills Dany and then she goes back to the House of Black and White to kind of pay back her debts.
Yeah, I can see that. What about Bronn?
We don't see him. Bronn's done.
Yeah, I think he's just done.
That sucks. Like, that's useless. What about Brienne?
She makes it.
Yeah, she might.
Yeah, she might. Who else am I missing? That's most of the...
Bran?
Oh, fuck. Who cares?
Keith, you're doing a disservice to the handicapped.
Sam and Gilly make it?
Yes. Yeah. Sam's the one to tell the story.
Yeah. It's not going to be a dream or anything, is it?
No.
Okay.
All right. It's
not the Tommy Westfall universe.
But I like the idea of Gilly like flashing forward a year... And Sam's got his son John on his lap, and he's telling him the story, you know, about his friend. And that would be I could have written that, you know, as a 15-year-old. That's a little juvenile, but a good ending nonetheless.
From the chat, we got Hot Pie will be king.
Hot Pie.
I'm still convinced that Sir Pounce is alive and kicking somewhere, and he will take the Iron Throne.
You guys got any final thoughts here on this episode or the season to this point?
This is the episode that was promised. I'm glad it's finally here with one more to go. You know,
oh, Sean, do we have a title yet for this episode?
Let me give you a double check. I don't think so. They didn't release it the last one until super late.
True.
They've been really holding off because they don't want to spoil anything for anybody. Let me see here. Yes, the episode title is The Bells.
Ooh, oh, the Bells. That's a good name. Yeah. Solid. I didn't know if it was going to be the last war because remember they were like.
Yeah, the final war.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bells. There you go. The Bells. Not a bad episode.
Does Yara Greyjoy come back and take out Drogon?
No. I don't think you see her next episode.
You think she's done?
I think she's done.
All right. So this is actually a fair point from the chat here. Cersei and Jaime. Definitely dead, or is there a chance they're alive?
They're dead.
I'm going to say they're dead.
Like, Jaime was dying anyway.
Yeah.
Before he went down.
Right. Yeah. You got to suck the venom out. What? You didn't get bit by a snake. Trust me. You got to suck the venom out. Anyway. Yeah, I think they're dead. I really do. I was hoping that... One guy says the episode title was Shit Sandwich. No, that can't be right.
You can't write that.
That's not real, is it?
Wouldn't be shocked.
It was actually just a two-word review. I thought this one was good. I mean, listen, I know it's not perfect, but the expectations are so high. Like, that's...
Yeah.
I enjoyed the episode.
I think this was the best episode of the season, fire none.
Oh, like, there you go. That's a good take. I like that take.
Not even close.
That was good. Danny going cray.
I'm really curious to see how they're going to tie up everything in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to see if they're going to, because we know that there's supposed to be some kind of spinoff series. We're led to believe it's a prequel series, but like I feel like they're going to do something that hints to it in some way. But I'm not really sure exactly how they do that. Or
wasn't there some sort of prophecy, Sean, we were talking about before about the something about King's Landing and having like the white ash or whatever?
So actually, my buddy Corey had sent me like a Reddit post that showed Danny had a prophecy back in season one or season two now, actually, where she's at King's Landing and she walks in and it's covered in what we believed at the time was to be snow.
Yeah, I remember this now.
She goes to the throne. She's about to touch it, but then she turns away. And so it was believed that we interpreted it that either a Jon Snow or like the Night King would crush the Iron Throne. And it was, she was, the castle itself was like all in rubble and shams.
Yes.
And a Reddit post said something along the lines of, well, what if that's ash? And after seeing the way the ash was all over Arya and it looked like it was snowing.
That's definitely what that is.
I buy it more, especially when it comes to the television show. In the books, it explicitly says covered in snow. Okay. So that's kind of why I always was just like, oh, it's snow. But in regards to the television show, we know that they're two different entities at this point. Having split after like season four, basically after the Red Wedding. And so I'm much more inclined to believe that it was in fact ash, and that it was just showing you that Dany doesn't care about the throne anymore. She's just out to destroy her enemies and win with fear.
Awesome.
All right.
That was good. Dave, you got any final thoughts?
I did have a final thought. Someone said something that I wanted to get in on, but now I can't.
Or you can think about it. Sean, do you have a final thought?
Thoughts. I got two, actually. One, somebody called me a commie when I gave my ending prediction. I want you to know, not who I am at all. It's really not nice of you.
So are you not a registered communist?
I am, in fact, not a registered communist.
So we all know your politics, Sean.
Apparently everybody does. And then there was another guy, I don't know where it is, but there was a gentleman in here who said that how can we criticize the writers because we probably can't even write like a 15-word sentence. Which I say to you, sir, don't you bite your thumb at me. For I am in the process of writing a novel, so you can buzz the fuck off.
And by the way, does bite your thumb is a reference to William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. So you can cram that. You can golden fist yourself, pal.
One of these fucking kingdom for a horse, you dumbass.
I wrote a whole movie once. I wrote an entire
film.
I wrote an entire film. I'm a screenwriter.
There it is.
I'm an English teacher and a Latin teacher. What's up?
What's up?
I'm grading papers right now as we speak, sucker. Jive turkey.
Whoa. All right. Easy.
Hey guys, come on. Okay.
Sorry.
Cross the line.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Come on.
No, I didn't. I called him a CS.
I know. I heard it.
I didn't call it. No. Would you call him a jive turkey? No. Yeah.
Matt goes, that's just what a commie would say. Fuck off, Mac. Thanks again, David, for the cup, though.
David, did you get your final point? Did you circle back to that?
No, watch Barry. There you go. That's my final point.
I would say if you are watching on the YouTube, thank you very much. You can also check out our podcast where we talk about more than just Game of Thrones. Hashtag Dork, iTunes, everywhere else. You can just search hashtag Dork out there. We will be back next week for the final episode ever of Game of Thrones. We'll probably do a pregame show. We are definitely doing a postgame show around the same time as this. And then I think we're going to take a breather. And then the week after, we'll do a whole look back.
I remember
this season.
I remember my final point now.
Go ahead.
So people are inevitably going to be disappointed with no matter what happens in this final episode, people are going to be pissed off about it. That's just how finales go. Okay.
All right. So
what level of disappointment do you think people are going to have for this episode? Is it going to be like Sopranos? Or like Lost, or like Saint Elsewhere bad, or Seinfeld.
Is Aquaman a level in there somewhere?
Aquaman.
Not a fucking TV show, Shime. God damn it. No, so Davey's right. So the best shows with finales, just shows in general. So you got Sopranos on one end, people pretty much hated, right?
Yeah, like the very end, people like found it confusing. I don't think people like having endings explained to them.
Yes, that's you know, true. Now, so, like Breaking Bad, I thought was kind of wrapped up nicely, but overall, yep. I thought it was good.
That was well done.
Mm-hmm. The Wire had the fifth season was their worst season in my mind, but the finale was actually really good. Like they did good job of being like, here, that's it. So
Dexter was fucking awful.
I think it's going to be, because like right now, especially the way Game of Thrones is set up, if it's a happy ending, you're going to piss people off.
Yep.
If it's a awful ending, it's going to piss people off. Or like and awful, I mean like, you know,
everyone dies.
All your characters are dead. Like people are going to be mad, but some people might like it. So yeah, it's going to be a shitstorm on the internet for sure.
I think it's going to be like a Seinfeld level where people are like, that was fine. But like, people be like, it should have been way better, but it was fine. You know,
I think it's going to be somewhere between a nice Friday Night Lights level ending and a Seinfeld level ending where it's like
Friday Night Lights was nice.
It's like, okay, this was pretty good. Predictable, but okay. Yep. Yep. But like I guess it did the job. It's not going to blow me out of the water though. I don't expect that.
Well, gentlemen, that was a fantastic recap here of the penultimate episode of Game of Thrones. You can check out Dem Thrones Boys on the Twitter at Dork Podcast, at Arvon D, and at Shime Time. Check us out on the iTunes. Subscribe here on the YouTube channel. We're going to have more YouTube stuff going out, including next week's finale and the wrap-up. So thanks to Davey and Shime. I'm Keith. We will another perfect episode, and we'll talk to you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.